And now it's my great pleasure to welcome to the studio the man who tied for the Copeland Trophy, Collingwood ruckman Brodie Grundy. Brodie, welcome to SEN.
Thank you. It's good to be on.
Tied for the Copeland Trophy with steel side bottom. How do you reflect on that as an achievement, as an honour?
Yeah, it certainly is an honour. On the night, I thought I was, within an opportunity, I suppose, to win the award. And it was a big shot, really. I thought I was sort of thereabouts, but I thought still, just with the final campaign, that he had, I thought he would run away with it. And when Eddie announced that it was going to be like a count back, and it was based on games played, and he was, as Eddie does in his fashion, he was sort of drawing it out and just going to say, Steel's won by a couple points or something like that. And that was fine. I had sort of, going into the night, I had sort of didn't get my hopes up. And when he said that, for the second time in history that we'll have a draw, Brodie and Steel, and I was just in massive, massive shock. And I was so proud, and to share the award with Steel in such a positive year for the club meant the world to me. And I suppose when I first got drafted to the club, the calibre of players that were winning the award was Scott Pendlebury and Dane Swan for the large part of it. So to ever think that I was possible to hear my name called out, it was something that I always dreamed of. And I'm tremendously proud.
It capped a great season. So fourth in the Coaches Awards and Max Gawn first. So two ruckmen in the top four. All Australian honours were shared together. You were on stage there. 17 Brownlow votes and then the best and fairest. So did you take a moment at any point to reflect on what season 2018 was personally?
Not heaps, to be honest. I think just with the whole finals campaign, that was... It took such mental priority in terms of my mindset and what I was thinking, and then obviously how upsetting the result was, and then moving into the post grand final week with all the wrap up and the functions and stuff like that, and then I basically jetted off overseas. So before you know it, you're back into pre-season. So I haven't really had a chance to formally sort of sit down and look back on what I did well, what I didn't do well. But the times that someone does bring it up, and when I sort of every now and again I think about it, and as you can see, I have a big smile on my face. So I'm really proud.
Do you feel like you unlocked a few things in your games? It's your sixth season, you're only 24. They always say, ruckman just take a little while. It felt like if it's coming of age, if that's the cliche, then that was the year.
Yeah, I think, for me, it just started like any sort of normal preseason for me. I didn't sort of expect anything more than what I'd been capable in previous years. But I think for me, my mindset just coming in to the AFL is there's definitely that narrative around tall key position players that they take a while to develop. And that was something that I didn't want to subscribe to. I wanted to sort of get in there and make an impact as soon as possible. And that was probably something, besides, the individual success that I had, to be able to do it in such a successful team meant a lot. And to be able to, stand up, two of my shoulders back and know that I sort of contributed for the team and was an important part, it really makes you feel good about where you fit in the team and the culture of the club and what we're doing there. And to be involved in just the turnaround of the organisation was really huge.
So much was achieved in the collective sense, and then you lose the grand final. Is how do you balance one against the other to make sure that the overwhelming positives of the season are not lost in the hurt of a grand final loss?
I think I know for myself. Well, as a group, we unpacked it when we came back, and to be honest, I thought it was a little bit late. Everyone had gone off and done the off-season travels and sort of filled their cup doing other bits and pieces, and then we came back and sort of wound things up. But it was a little bit, I was emotionally sort of moved on from it, and even when I was overseas or coming back, and even now we're in February and I still, when I meet supporters, that's the first thing that they say, damn, that grand final. And it's funny because, you know, for them, that's the last football experience that they had. But for me and all the other players, we've been moving on to 2019 from the day we started back in pre-season, so early December. So, yeah, we do take the good things from it. And for me, I had a season that I was really proud of, and we'll try and emulate that and emulate that consistency. And I think just where Bucks is at as well as a coach is he's really coaching from a positive perspective and trying to encourage just that growth mindset. So, you know, to be looking backwards into the grand final is not going to be too healthy. We certainly took away what we needed to, and really keen to start the season in about a month's time.
So those few days before you left for overseas, is there a sense of shell shock after a grand final?
Well, to put it into perspective, when we played Richmond and we won that in the prelim, I knew that was going to be a, you know, massive hurdle, a massive sort of emotional, you know, spiritual hurdle. And when we won that game, I was really emotional after the game. I just was so emotional. I didn't know why. And then after the grand final, you know, a lot of guys were teary, and we wear our hearts on our sleeves, you know. So, but for me, I was probably what you said, shell shocked. I didn't cry. I didn't, you know, put my face in my hands, and I was just sort of, yeah. There's a photo that I have after the game. I just put it up in my locker of just me sort of sitting there after the loss, and West Coast is celebrating just as a bit of a reminder to just say, hey, you know, you don't want to feel that again. And now we all, I suppose, respond to trauma, if you like, differently. And I try to just focus on the good stuff. And I obviously went away and freshened up and did things that made me feel good.
What do you want to remember from it? So there's been a set of teammates. Everyone gets asked, have you watched it? Do you torture yourself watching it? How have you treated the game itself?
No, I haven't watched it back in full. I don't really watch too many games back in full,
yep.
Whether it was the grand final or not. But I will at some stage probably, you know, when I'm versing Vardy or Lysette, I'll look back at that game, the last game I played them in, as I would any other opposition. And, yeah, that was obviously going to bring with it a little bit more emotion perhaps, but I'll just be using that as a bit of opposition analysis and, yeah, it's trying to take out of it, I suppose, just learnings. And those boys certainly played a really team-orientated job on me, and I've got a lot to learn from that experience.
Is there a sense that there's more you could have done, or the way it plays out on the day is the way it plays out on the day?
Yeah, I think you always feel like, you know, you could have done more, or you would have liked to have done things differently, but the nature of being a professional sportsman is that some days you try your guts out regardless. You know, for the Collingwood supporters out there, you know, that effort doesn't ever waver. And that's a trademark of our team, is we want to, you know, build a strong 22 around consistent effort. And I don't think that ever wavered. It was just the finish and the composure in what was obviously an extraordinary time. You know, the game was so close there in the end. And yeah, West Coast, to their full credit, really stood up, and they deserve to win that match. So yeah, it's tough, but we'll just try and focus on those positives. And we certainly have done that in pre-season. We've been working on you know, those last dying minutes, and how do we make sure that doesn't happen again.
When do you make peace with it? Like, so when you go to base camp in Nepal, is there any sort of spiritual letting go of it?
Burnt some prayer flags at the top. No, not really, man. To be honest, I just sort of on to the next thing. I'm a pretty ambitious person, so there's no point sort of dwelling on it for me. I'm sort of on to the next thing and just want to do it all over again. But you know, win by a kick, not lose by a kick.
Yeah.
So for 99% of the year, we did a lot of things really, really well. And just on a broader term as well, like just the space that the club's in at the moment is fantastic, and can't speak highly enough of how the right people have come in and really changed the organisation for the better, and just the feeling of coming into work. I'm really loving the space that I'm in, and I think you'll see, as I'm sure you know, when you love what you do, you generally perform better. So it's exciting.
Did you need the escape? What did base camp represent to you? Why was that on the list of things that you'd like to do?
You know, it's the nature of finals football and stuff. You sort of never really know when your campaign's going to finish, and I was always pretty keen to get to Japan at the end of the season, and had penciled that in for after the best and fairest. So to go back earlier to your earlier question, the morning after the best and fairest, about 9 o'clock, I went to Japan. Yep. So sort of this snowball of sort of continual, you know, I suppose never sort of resting, you're always doing something. So it's hard for the mind to have a moment to take a breather. But when we started winning games in the finals, and I thought that, it could be possible to go all the way. And my friend was going to base camp, and we were sort of chatting throughout the year how awesome it would be. And my girlfriend actually did base camp the year before. Mm-hmm. And, she was always in my ear how I'd love it. I'd love the culture. I'd love the people. And I just thought, it's a nice sentiment, and it'd be good to get there one day. And then I just thought, stuff it. Like, there's no time like now. And yep. It just sort of felt like a bit of a representation of our year. You know, we sort of climbed a bit of a mountain as a footy club. And I thought, why not, climb Mount Everest after the season. And ended up booking the trip, and the calendar worked itself out alongside uni, and it was fantastic. Definitely one of the best things I've ever done.
What did you find there?
It's a good question. Depends which way you want to look at it.
Yep.
I found some time to myself. I found times when I was just in awe of the world, and the landscape was fantastic, and just people. You meet just such fantastic, unique people. It doesn't matter where you're from, what language you speak, there's always a way for you to connect with people, and I definitely felt that with some of the Nepalese boys that were on the trek. And it's a really grounding experience when you're gasping for air and your legs are burning, and you're doing it alongside someone that you've just met, but you feel really connected to them. So it was a unique experience, and I've had a lot of people sort of hit me up afterwards and want to know all about it. And my message is to why not go do it.
Could you imagine one day trying to climb the mountain?
No. No way. I couldn't. When you see the peak, I could not imagine doing it, let alone how dangerous it is. So in another lifetime maybe.
Brody, it hasn't been a smooth preseason. It's been interrupted by, of all things, a toe injury.
Yeah, so it is what it is. People always ask, how do you feel about your toe being crook or whatever, and just the sort of guy I am, it is what it is, and can't do anything about it now. So just make the best of every situation that you're in. And so what that looked like for me was just sort of hitting the gym pretty hard for 4 or 5 weeks, trying to put on the 6-7 kilos that I lost in the pool. And I've been able to do that. And now the last sort of week I've transitioned back into the main training and feeling really, really good. So I'm looking forward to it.
What does it mean for your timeline towards round one? Are you where you need to be?
Yeah, you'd always like to be fitter and stronger and quicker, but where I am now, considering what's happened, I think I'm really well placed, and still got a month of solid footy to get in, to build that chemistry with the team. And I think I've actually made a bit of a step up. I wasn't supposed to be playing. I don't think I was sort of projected to play the JLT first game, but I think I'm doing that now. So, all positive.
we lived through the renaissance of the ruck position through you and Max, and now it feels like that might be further emphasised. What's your gut feeling on the modifications that have been made to the game and what it might do to the importance of ruck work?
Yeah, there's been a lot of talk about it, hasn't there? Mm. So I haven't really thought too much about it. I try not to overthink the way that I play my football. It's always been pretty simple for me, which is just be as competitive as possible, really. So whether you can take the ball out the ruck or not, it doesn't really change too much the way that I'll go about it. I don't want to be taking too many clearances from our midfield because they'll let me know about it with the quality in there. But obviously with the new starting spots where everyone has to be 6-6-6, that's going to obviously put a lot more importance on ruck dominance. So if you're having a good day, it's going to help the midfielders, I suppose, enter the forward 50 and hopefully then lock it in there and score.
Has it been seeing the craft truly valued again and right at the top of the game? Have you enjoyed being part of that?
I have. I suppose for me anyway, whatever I do, I want to do it to the best of my ability, and to have that recognised publicly is always a really lovely thing. It's better than someone saying you're not good enough or whatever. But having said that, it's, I know that this year the slate is wiped clean and you've got to earn the praise that you get. And I'm under no illusion about that. Obviously, with the interrupted preseason I've had, I'm working my bum off to get myself in the best position to help the team the best that I can. And it's an exciting time to be a ruckman. And obviously Queen's birthday, when we played against Max, like, there was so much written about us two going head to head, and it's awesome. And I think we both sort of relish that responsibility, and we always have a bit of a laugh when we're playing against each other. So it's good.
So do you feel a kinship with him, and do you study what he does, and do you think he has a look at what you do?
Yeah, I think it would be silly not to look at each other's games. He's certainly good at what he does, isn't he? So, it would almost be, it would be neglectful of me not to. So his aerial work and his body positioning, obviously his tap work is top of the tree, and his contested marking is top of the tree as well. So, I certainly look at how he does that, where he sort of positions himself, and I'm sure he probably looks at my running patterns and my follow-up work. So until we can both do what each other does, then it's going to be a really interesting matchup.
There's a sense that he might go forward a little bit more this year. Could you imagine that being the case for you?
I think the way that we've got our sort of forward ruck chemistry working sort of spoke for itself last year, the way me and Mason were able to form a really solid team within a team. And obviously with the addition of Jordan Ruffhead, it's going to be another string to our bow. So I think he'll play obviously down back, and Mason probably forward, and me in the ruck. And what it does, though, is it just gives us more options, which is awesome.
If you had a wish for 2019, Brody, as we sit here a month out, what does the best look like in 2019, personally and collectively?
I haven't really projected that far forward at the moment. I've just been trying to take care of business in the lead up to the season, and I think it's, for me, it's probably the first sort of month of football. What does that look like for me? Making that, continue along the brand that I want to have when I play my football, being a really strong competitor and having that follow-up work, and obviously having other areas come to fruition. So for me, probably a bit more aerial sort of marking and trying to hit the scoreboard a bit more. I think there's some things that I can add to my game, and I'll be trying to do that and make myself sort of feel good in the first month, because as we know, when things aren't going well, it's harder to turn that around. So if you can get off to a good start, sometimes it makes for a lot more enjoyable season.
And the photo in the locker, do you think that will stay there until you've got the opposite photo to replace it with?
To be honest, it wasn't like a big, representation of the grand final and the loss and everything. It was actually just a colleague had moved on from the Pies, and I worked with him closely, and he had taken the photo and he had passed it on to me, and it was just sitting in my locker. And I thought, I'm making a nice little collage on the inside of my locker, so I thought it'd be a nice piece.
Brody, thanks for coming in, and the very best of luck for what's to come.
Cool, thank you.